doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to Circling the Bases, a baseball podcast from NBC Sports Edge. I am Chris Crawford and I host this podcast every Thursday morning. And I bring on some smart folks from around the baseball industry to talk all things fantasy baseball and more. Thanks to everybody who's joining us live. If you're watching us via YouTube, watching us via Twitch, we really appreciate it. We really appreciate that you guys have been joining us all year. It's been a lot of fun. Just can't thank you guys enough. However you're digesting this podcast, I appreciate it. Won't dilly-dally. I'm going to bring in my special guest. He's written for a bunch of places. He's written two excellent baseball books that I'll have him talk to you about after the podcast and have him promote all of his good stuff. He currently writes for CBS Sports. I guess he's my friend. It just kind of depends on what day it is. Please welcome my friend, Dane Perry. Dane, how are you doing today?
Crawdaddy, good to be with you.
Thank you so much. Let me
compliment you on that that bumper music. That was a jam.
Thank you very much.
I feel like I'm going to have a middleweight title fight here.
You and Kylie McDaniel have enjoyed it very much, so that's
great. Okay, good.
That's high praise.
I'm hoping I'd be the first to say that, but that's fine.
You've got plenty of time to be the first to say a lot of things here.
Dane,
we are both inflicted with college football stuff, and I think we both have.
Yeah.
So some people know I'm a big Notre Dame fan. Dane roots for a team that he can tell you about in just a second, but they're playing Alabama. How confident are you?
I'm confident enough to be excited about the game.
There you go.
And to plan to watch the game. But I see what's coming.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be good for Ole Miss. But, I've had an intense hatred for Alabama since I was like 6 years old.
Sure.
This is one of those games. It's probably this game, the LSU game, the Mississippi State game, that turned me into a huge baby, and I will be a huge baby on Saturday, particularly if they get rolled, which they probably will. So,
I'm a Notre Dame fan, and they're playing Cincinnati, and watching this team try to block anybody.
An interesting game.
It will be an interesting game. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited for it. It would be kind of honestly as big of a Notre Dame fan as I am. Be kind of cool to see Cincinnati win because I think it puts them into the playoff hunt, and I would love to see like what they can do against, because Notre Dame's not great. That team is very, very flawed. They cannot block anybody. So, but speaking of the NFL, speaking of football anyway, the NFL season is in full swing, and the NBC Sports Predictor app has you covered with Sunday Night. Predict what will happen on Sunday Night Football for a chance to win up to $100,000 every week. It's free. It's easy to play. Download today from your app store or visit NBCSports.com/predictor. I know $100,000 is a pay decrease for you, but that'd be a pretty fun thing to do, right, Dane?
I mean, good Christmas bonus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You can get the little guys.
I would accept it.
You can get the little guys some.
That's a monthly mortgage payment for me. I'll take it. You can see behind me the luxurious accommodations I have.
It's absolutely beautiful. I'm super jealous.
That light is, I think you're probably impressed by that pot light right there.
Honestly, I'm impressed by a lot of things you do. So
second sun right there.
Yeah. It's just adding to the total. By the way, for everybody who has been watching me, the thing you're seeing behind me is I had an old chair that scratched the crap out of the back of the thing, and that is just extra paint. That is what you've been seeing
last
4 months. We were going to start by talking about the Cardinals.
Did you consider matching the color first?
No, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
I just needed to get something in there because I was tired of looking at inside of my house. We were going to start by talking about the Cardinals, but we're going to talk first about some, I guess, breaking news. Devin Williams is going on the injured list, and he's going on the injured list for a very interesting reason. Basically, what happened, to say it as succinctly as I can, he punched a wall, and it was after having a little too much to drink, which he has already admitted. He's already said he wishes he could take it back. Thank you, Devin Williams, for that that brilliant analysis. Where do you this rank for you in terms of, for lack of a better term, stupid injuries?
I don't know. I think about the Mike Matheny. What was he trying to do? Cut open a golf ball or something? Yes. Was that Matheny or was that someone else?
I think it was Matheny, but it's definitely somebody in that ilk anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the one that immediately comes to mind. Punching a wall. I mean, I don't get it why you do it on the – what are you mad about? You just clinched the division. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess champagne, you never know what's going to hit you, but
no,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he's a very valuable piece of that bullpen to say the least. So that's not optimal to say the least.
Yeah. Huge loss.
I don't know.
Huge
it's pretty
loss.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Pretty dumb.
Yeah, he's pretty flipping dumb. And it's a year that I'll remember some dumb injuries for. I will remember Jesus Luzardo for injuring himself playing the video game. I still want to know what game it was he's playing. It's going to be something that bothers me for a very long
Frogger,
time. Yes. That's my hope too, is Frogger or some sort of like turn-based game where like just you have to like type in like head west or something like that and type.
I love turns.
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of the best things about video games. And then of course, Plesak with his aggressively taking off his shirt. We'll keep the podcast PG, but that is one of my favorite injuries of the year for sure. But you're right, this is a big loss for them. Like Devin Williams is one of the best high leverage relievers in baseball. And I'll be curious to see how it changes how the Brewers manage their bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, Council's really skilled at managing that bullpen. So that's going to be a test for him. He's really good at that. And again, that's a huge loss this time of year.
Massive loss. Yeah, absolutely. It's a guy that if you have a lead after six innings, if you have the ability to bring in Williams and Hader to finish off those guys, it's a big benefit. The team that they end up finishing ahead of in the NL Central, but if the season was 180 games long, they might not have. The St. Louis Cardinals have won, I believe, 17 straight games. It's insane to me. Like they were 71-69 and their playoff odds were something like in the 1-2% or something like that. Adam Wainwright said -400%. I've done the math. Yeah. That's not actually accurate, but he was closer to the opposite end than the full end of the spectrum, I guess. But I keep looking at this team and it is not a bad baseball team. Like there's your movie quote on the poster. Not a bad baseball
team. Yeah. That's one of the station these days sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also, I don't think it's a great team. And here's what I'll ask you. How much of this is the Cardinals being a good baseball team, and how much of it is, I just look at the National League and there are two very good teams. Like the Giants, you have to say now, are a very, very good baseball team. Mm-hmm. As surprising as it was that they're this good at this point, you can't take anything away from them. It hasn't been luck. They are a very good baseball team in 2021. Obviously the Dodgers are great, but I look at the rest of the National League and I said this with Colin, it's kind of 10 pounds of crap in a 5 pound bag, the rest of this.
Yeah,
like, all due respect to the Brewers and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So, if you had to say it's more of one, is it more of the Cardinals being a legitimately very good baseball team or the National League just not being very good on the whole?
I mean, both, you know? I mean, I think the Cardinals were better than they had played prior to the streak. I mean, August 8th, I think, as recently as then, they were, I think, a game below 500. You know, you look at that roster, I think there's more talent on there, more ability on there than being one below 500 in August.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, obviously, no team wins 17 in a row without playing above their level and that kind of thing. So, yeah. I mean, they track to me as a 88 to 90 win team in terms of roster quality. So I think that's what they are. I don't think they truly are who they were before the streak. I don't think they are who they were during the streak. I think they're somewhere in the middle there. They're a threat. It's one game against the Dodgers or Giants. Obviously, anything can happen. It's baseball. It's a weird sport. You know, not one of the most deserving teams in the National League. That's the Dodgers and Giants, as you mentioned. I think there's a huge drop-off after that in this league, particularly when you get to the NL East. But, yeah, the Cardinals are legit threats.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you look their corner infield. I mean, you could say that's one of the, if not the best, one of the best, certainly in baseball. The Tyler O'Neill has clearly had a breakout season. I have some question marks about whether or not he can hit for this kind of average striking out as much as he does, but the talent has never been a question for him. Dang, you have rooted for the St. Louis Cardinals for a long time. So I have that's to ask you this important question. Do you have any thoughts on St. Louis pizza?
It's fine. I mean, I would rather eat it than deep dish Chicago pizza. This is where we get into a little misconception about Chicago, where I lived for a very long time.
Yes.
They have excellent pizza of all varieties.
Yeah.
Now people think Chicago pizza, they think the casserole style pizza.
Right.
That sort of thing. I don't care for that. I'll eat it. It's pizza.
Yeah.
But I think the St. Louis style pizza is fine. It's hard to find. I've had one bad pizza in my life, and that was at a water park in Wisconsin, and they used spaghetti sauce instead of pizza sauce. It wasn't good. I ate it. I stuffed my stupid face with it, but I didn't enjoy it. Now, almost all pizza is good, is at least good. It's a high floor. It's a college draftee food.
I have to be honest. I totally forgot about the fact that I've seen so many Domino's orders from you online. So me asking, me getting your opinion on St. Louis pizza, I'm not surprised. Hey, I have to say,
I'll eat the hell out of Domino's and Little Caesars, so yeah, I'll eat St. Louis pizza too.
It's totally fine. The reason I ask is because when formerly Roto-World, now NBC Sports Edge, like 95% of us are from St. Louis. I'm one of the rare who's not. And I had never heard of St. Louis pizza until talking about it with my good friend / arch nemesis Drew Silva. And
yes.
I'm sorry. Like, the crust sounds great. Like the
it's like a cracker crust, right?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Isn't the difference that it's made with provolone instead of mozzarella?
Is that okay, so if it was provolone, I wouldn't have a problem, but it's made with something called Provel, which I'm not even legally sure they can call cheese. Like, I think that's about. Yeah, so that's my thing. Like, I don't mean to be too much of an elitist snob, but I like a cheese to be actual cheese. So that's my only issue with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's every podcast I've done, with the exception of like three or four, I've asked everybody about St. Louis pizza.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I found an actual way to get into it in a real way.
I've had Emo's. I thought it was solid. You know, I'm the least picky pizza eater you'll find among, you know, probably your circle. But
that's fair.
Yeah. I thought it was fine.
That's fair. I'll put that on the poster for them as well. By the way,
I'll eat that crap. That could go on the poster too. Yeah, I'll eat.
We did have somebody who works for Roto World, Patrick Doherty. The thing he served at his wedding was Emo's Pizza. So that's.
Hey.
If you like
give me that great. over like russet potatoes under a heat lamp, and you know, give me the Emo's.
I think I'm taking the russet potatoes to be
completely honest. Actually, don't anyone invite me to their wedding. That'll
okay. That's fair.
Test going to weddings. All right.
They're so fun. Anyway. You don't dance at weddings?
I don't want to go to weddings, let alone dance at one. I didn't want to go to my own wedding.
So speaking of weddings, let's talk about playoff expansion. So last year, of course, we had.
How's that talking about weddings?
I don't know yet, but we'll figure it out. Last year, of course, we had the 16 teams making the postseason. I think everybody pretty much hated it. Like almost universally outside of Major League Baseball, because they got some extra money out of it, I think wasn't a fan of it. The reason I want to talk to you about it this year is we just talked about how the National League is not very good. And I'm so glad that we're not going to get eight of those teams in the postseason.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you look at the American League, and I kind of lamented a little bit. Now, some of it is, you know, I rooted for the Mariners for a very long time. My grandma is the biggest Mariner fan in the entire world. They're currently a half game out of the playoffs, but looking at the schedules for the teams ahead of them, it's very difficult for me to see them end up making the postseason. But there's going to be another team like Toronto who is not going to make the postseason as well. I think this would have been a fun year to have an expanded postseason. Where do you sit on postseason expansion? How many teams do you think should make the postseason?
I mean, I don't mind the 14-team idea that's being kicked around because it confers that huge advantage for being the number one seed and that kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. I mean, I realize I'm old as hell and should have cranky opinions about expanding the playoffs, but I really don't. I think it's fine.
Sure.
I mean, I understand it devalues the regular season, but there's so many other things wrong right now that expand the playoffs. You know, I mean, why not? I can squint and see where that incentivizes additional teams to try. You know, I don't want to make any assumptions along those lines these days because you'll be disappointed if you want teams to try. But the 14 team idea I think is fine. I don't mind it. It's the Emo's pizza of playoff expansion ideas. It's fine. So 16 teams getting a little bloated, you know.
Yeah.
But 14.
There's no way to me that I think you can have more teams making the playoffs than missing. Like, and even if we expand, and I'll be honest with you, while I would love to see some markets get some extra teams, I really hope we don't have expansion just because I don't think there is enough Major League Baseball talent right now to justify having 32 teams. And it's weird to say because of, you know, salary suppression and a lot of guys that are talented enough in the minors to go play. But if you're asking for me another two teams with 12 pitchers and 13 major league hitters, it's just really tough for me to see. But anyway, that's still half of the league making the playoffs and half missing it. I kind of like the idea of 12, like going to what the NFL has right now, where you have two byes and then you've got the 3 versus the 6 and the 4 versus the 5. I think that would have been a lot of fun this year, especially because your 6 postseason teams, you're talking about the 3 division winners. And then you're talking about the Red Sox. Even still, that one good team is not making the postseason. And that is not that I think about it, but it's, I think 6 is a fair amount. You're still talking about putting importance on the regular season. Like I do want the regular season to mean something. If you're going to play that many flipping games, please have them mean something. And maybe the answer to the question is, if you're going to have that many postseason teams, to not make the regular season so important, like 162 games is ridiculous. Can we agree on that?
Yeah. I mean, stereotypes should say I should not feel this way because I'm old, but
yes,
man, give me less regular season baseball. Maybe this is the job talking and that I just get tired of it by this time of year, but just shorten that regular season for me, you know, let's knock it down to 140 or something.
I'd be 140 or 10, somewhere in between those.
One or the other, pick one.
I am totally good.
Binding arbitration. Pick the number of regular season games.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see. Like a nice 25 game season, and then like do like basketball where the postseason lasts for like 3 years or something like that. I cannot believe I just recommended something to do with basketball. One team that is for sure going to the playoffs, one team that is for sure going to be playing some home games is the Tampa Bay Rays. Whether people like it or not, it is what it is. And they have recently had a pitcher named Shane Boz pitching for them and pitching awfully well. He's made 2 starts. He has a 0.56 whip, a 1.69 ERA, 14 strikeouts. Is coming off 5 2/3 innings, I believe, of shutout baseball. Yes, it was against the Marlins, but like the eye test tells you just how good this can be. So, Dane, I'm going to make you Kevin Cash real quick. And again, I'm giving you a pay decrease, but we're going to make you Kevin Cash for just a second. If you are Kevin Cash and you have the option to start Shane Dawes in game one of the ALDS, do you do it?
Yeah, I do. I think the rotation is the soft underbelly for an otherwise excellent team.
Right.
You know, particularly with no Tyler Glass now. So, yeah, I think that's what you do. I think he's got the best stuff in the rotation. I think he's, granted, it's a small sample, but he's proved to be ready for the highest level at this point. He meets the eye test. And, you know, again, with that, you know, stacked bullpen, you have some margin for error there. And obviously Kevin Cash does not tend to let his guys go deep. So
no.
I think that lowers the risk. And yeah, that's what I do. And it's unconventional, certainly, but the Rays are nothing if not unconventional. So yeah, go for it.
I think so too. And part of this, I think, has to do with the fact that, like, assuming that it's not Gerrit Cole pitching against them, because I think Gerrit Cole at this point looks like he's going to probably maybe need to start that American League wild card game. But even still, like, whoever they're facing, if it's not Gerrit Cole, there's no real, like, oh my gosh, we need a guy who is going to match 0-for-0 this year in the American League. Like, there's no starting pitcher that I feel like this is like a huge detriment. And the thing about Shane Dawes is, I not only think he has the best stuff of any Tampa Bay Rays starter, I think he has the best command. Like, he repeats his delivery so well, and he throws everything for strikes. Like, yes, control and command are not the same thing, but you watch him pitch, and he is hitting his spots. I think it's worth the risk, especially, like, you know, in a five-game series. Yeah, let's say Shane Dawes, you know, what's the bet, and, you know, you have to go. You're still getting – yeah, still have a chance to tie the series and – you know, get a split in somewhere and hopefully win game five. It'll bring into question whether or not you want to use Shane Bass for the rest of this. But it's weird to say about a starter who has made all of two starts and one of them against a very bad baseball team. But I think Shane Bass is the right answer.
I mean, is he any riskier than running, you know, McClanahan or Waka out there? Or, you know,
Michael Waka or Shane Bass. It's a pretty easy yes for me. Like, McClanahan's been very good, and I kind of feel like that's maybe what they are going to do, is go with McClanahan in that first start, just because a little bit risk averse. But like you said, Tampa Bay has certainly taken chances. From a fantasy perspective, like, go get Shane Dawes in any dynasty and keeper league that you can. He has a chance to be a really special pitcher in Pittsburgh. Oh boy. like just one of, it's going to go down if Shane Dawes is a modicum of the pitcher that I think he is. One of the worst baseball trades of all time.
All right. Well, that's bold.
Thank you, sir. I will I'll put that on the poster for Emo's Pizza as well.
Yes.
Before we move on to the second half, a special offer for our listeners: use promo code BASES10 for 10% off any premium subscription for NBC Sports Edge Plus. You can use it monthly, you can use it yearly, and you can use it for any tier. So not only do you get access to the baseball season tools, but your subscription also covers NBA, Save Our Sonics, NHL, Go Kraken, and NFL, Let Russell Wilson Cook. So it's a great value. It can help you play baseball, or if you have your hands at all sports, just remember that promo code is BASES10, so BASES10, and you can go to NBCSportsEdge.com/premium to get started. How excited are you for your bowls this year, sir?
Man, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Good.
I love the additions they made. I love Levine. They have depth now. You know, the Patrick Williams injury worries me a bit. I hope he's able to come back smoothly and jump right back in there. I like DeRozan on that. I like the way he fits, you know, pick and roll dude.
Sure.
I'm excited, man. I mean, the East is tough, but I'm ready. Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting team. And I'll say this. Like, you know, that I think it's Zach Lowe who did it. Like the article about, like, the most fun teams to watch. I think the Bulls would have to be super high on that list for me, just because, like, I think Zach LaVine, and part of, I have a little bit of bias because he's a PNW guy. So it's been, but, like, watching, like, he can get up, man. And DeRozan, you know, is not the most efficient basketball player, but has always been a guy that I have enjoyed watching. The Vukovic trade, I still don't understand that from the Magic. Like, you had a legitimate, okay, maybe he's not the guy you build around, but that's such a good second or third best player like that. And honestly, I think he's probably the Bulls' best player, with all due respect to LaVine. I think Vukovic is actually the best all around player for them. I think it's fun, and it's nice because I've made fun of you on Twitter for how terrible this team has been and bad at tanking, like really bad at tanking for a long time. So it's fun to see that they're going to be pretty good. So let's move on from the NBA to something that matters, baseball uniforms. And Dane has written about baseball uniforms. It's one of my favorite things. Like this and his MLB draft name thing are two of my favorite things he does. He hasn't done anything else right in his life, but he's done really well with a couple of those things. So we're going to end our final regular season show with another draft. Our previous drafts were Spoonerism names with Grant Brisby and baseball names with David Roth. So you're in very, very positive company. Because I'm a nice guy and because I've done it with the other few shows, I'll give you the first pick, sir.
Taking the Brewers home uniforms. I love, love, love the ball and glove MB logo. I think it's the best in sports. I'm so glad they brought this back from mere alternate status to being their primaries. Cream color, I think, is far superior to white on home uniforms.
Sure.
Love the color combo. I just think those are just driven by the hat logo. I think those are just perfect uniforms. And bonus points for the occasional glimpse of the beer barrel man, which is the greatest mascot in the history of the game.
Yes. It's not. It's
so
not
I got to go with the Brewers, man. I got to go with those are sharp.
That's upsetting because that was going to be my number one pick. I understand that. No, they're really good uniforms. I'm going with the Twins red and blues, and I'm going to add that anything time they involve the logo with the two dudes shaking hands. It's such a good uniform. And I'll say this. I think the Twins, like, yeah, I get like people who prefer them only having one or two uniforms. I do get that. Like if you're the traditionalist about that stuff, there are worse things to be traditionalist about, I think, in this world. But yeah. I think the Twins, like every uniform they have is good. Like every option they have is solid. Like if you would have taken, I probably would have taken those Brewers uniforms again, but there were like three or four Twins uniforms that I was considering. It's just, they're really good uniforms, not a great baseball team, but really good uniforms.
Now this is which uniform are you taking of the Twins?
I'm taking the red and blue, the
dark blue tops.
Dark blue tops, excuse me. Okay. The dark blue tops. Gotcha. And then the red, across. Navy blue is my favorite color. It's one of the,
that's a good color. Yeah.
It's a really good, uniform color. It's why I think Penn State has the best like uniforms in all of sports. And it's not even close.
I still insist that's black. I believe that since I was a kid. I'm not going to stop now. Penn State is not blue. I'm here to tell you.
I'm questioning bringing you on the show to talk about this topic now.
Yeah. Well, there's 101.5 The Zone's hot take of the week. Penn State's uniforms are black, not blue. Take it to the bank.
We will not go serpentine, and I will let you make your second pick, sir.
Oh, wow, not serpentine. All right. Second pick. Going to go Homer here and take the Cardinals alternate powder blues.
Oh.
That they wear on Sunday, I believe they wear them on. Or is it Saturday? Yes. Saturday, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
That sounds about Birds right. Birds on the bat. Yeah. At that color. Takes me back to my youth. Tom Herr, Tito Landrum, Ozzie Smith, Ken Obergefell. Should I go on?
No.
I think it's a fantastic look. I think that that is 1980s evocative baseball when we were kings.
Sure.
And I love them. Yeah, I love them. They're dear to me.
They are a very, very good uniform. Like I talked about Ryan Boyer a little bit about this last week. Like a lot of people do not like the St. Louis Cardinals, but I don't think anybody dislikes St. Louis Cardinals uniforms. Even they're just traditional.
Yeah.
Home whites are an excellent uniform, part of it because they have one of the better logos in sports. But I'm going to be as Homer as well. And I'm going to, you talked about cream, the Sunday Mariner uniforms, the blue and yellow, so good. And
those are great.
I really wish that those would actually become, I'm kind of torn because it is kind of nice to see them just like once in a while, you know, because so you don't get spoiled. It's like, you know, eating dessert before dinner, something I do quite often. And sometimes dessert is dinner, but it is but I would love to see them more often. Like, I really like those uniforms. I actually think they're just normal home uniforms are easily the worst uniforms they have, and it may be time for a uniform design. They've gone with this thing since 1993, and I remember that because I was watching a video of a brawl the first year they had where Bill Hasselman came and fought Mike Mussina. It was a really good Donnybrook. And it also reminded me, he won't promote this, but when you guys have a chance, go search for Dane's article on Robin Ventura and Nolan if you haven't read it yet, because it's so good and it's important. The truth is important. I'm a huge Nolan Ryan fan. But the truth of what happened there is important to tell. And so definitely check that out.
Penn State is black. Robin Ventura won that fight.
One of those things is true. Absolutely true. Yeah. All right, sir. End us with your third selection.
My third selection is going to be the A's Kelly Greens. The Kelly Green jerseys. For me. I strongly dislike the forest green top that the A's have. But I really love the Kelly Green. That's in the spirit of Charlie O'Finley, what he would have wanted. And I think he called it, Fort Knox Gold Kelly Green and something. And I forgot what he called the white wedding gown white or something. He referred to the colors as. I think it just looks great. I mean, so many teams these days are variations on red and blue. It's just so great to see that green and gold out there, particularly the way that Kelly Green pops. Just a great look. I hope. I hope they never get rid of those. Despite the upheavals that are coming for that organization, because that's just a beautiful look.
It is a beautiful look. It'll be interesting to see like how they like incorporate, like if it'll be like Mandalay Bay green and
right, yeah,
Hooters Casino yellow in a few years. Because I think that they are all but gone. I will say, for my last pick, I strongly did consider the city edition jerseys of the Arizona Diamondbacks. All of the other city uniforms.
That would be, all right.
Yeah, all of the other city uniform additions to me are just awful. The Miami Marlins ones are pretty good. Yeah.
I like that a lot. Miami's my favorite, but Phoenix, Arizona is strong. Yeah.
It's a little too gaudy for me with the Miami one, but I do appreciate it. Like, I definitely get why people like it. I'd rock it. Like, I haven't actually worn a jersey because I'm a grown male in a very long time. It is definitely something that I would consider. I got to take a powder blue too. So I'm going to go with the Blue Jays powder blue. I like that uniform a lot.
Those are strong.
They are strong. That would be a uniform I would consider too. I was thinking about going with the Royals, but do the Royals actually wear the powder blue anymore? I'm just not watching.
I'm trying to think the last time I saw it. I don't know if I've seen it this season.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it either, which is a mistake because it's an excellent uniform. But Toronto's my favorite. It's got a little bit of new school and old school mixed with it because, like, the first person I think of when I think of powder blue Toronto Blue Jays jerseys is George Bell, which, you've aged your podcast throughout. It's my turn to age myself a little bit thinking about George Bell. But, those would probably be third for me. I like powder blue a lot. I love cream uniforms. Like, they are.
Yeah, I think they're vastly superior to home.
Vastly superior to the boring white uniforms. We didn't talk about this in the podcast planning, but do you have a least favorite uniform?
Probably Arizona's road uniform.
That would be up there for
that's
me.
That's terrible.
As well.
Generally not a fan of colored jersey with, white or gray pants.
Yeah.
But there are exceptions like Kelly Green. Orioles are orange, that sort of thing. But generally not a fan of that.
I don't care for
Arizona's sweatpants look.
And my answer is going to be one they haven't worn in a very long time. But the 1 year that the Angels wore those pilot wing uniforms is my answer for my least favorite uniform for 20.
Yeah,
what a huge mistake that was. I give them credit for realizing it was a mistake very early because those did not last very long. But just picturing Mo Vaughn in those.
Uniforms. And the Angels have had some good uniforms at various points. I love like the little halo over the A and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But those were terrible. Yeah.
I always will credit that team for teaching me looking at Chuck Finley and Jim Abbott's stats realizing that win-loss is a terrible stat for picking how good teams are. And that's what I think of when I think of those uniforms. Dane, thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun. Please promote anything and everything you would like to promote, sir.
Oh, I have nothing to promote.
You have nothing to promote? You don't
go to baseballgenres.com.
It's really good. It's really good.
My dumb personal site.
I will say it's very good. I will say, too, that my favorite baseball podcast of all time was Dane and Carson Castulli. I miss it. As good as our podcast is, it was my favorite because you are either a tremendous actor or he annoyed the heck out of you for an hour and a half or so every week or so.
We had a nice.
It was
we would trade like, which one was the straight man, you know?
Yeah, it was really, and, really good, man.
I mean, I certainly assume he'll get fired at some point. So maybe
Well, we'll see. We'll see the bidding war because I'll make sure that NBC Sports Edge, you know, Carson Castulli, big fantasy guy. So I think he's going to want to come to work with us first.
Absolutely.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yes. That's going to do it for us. This is my last live episode of the regular season. So just a real quick thank you to all of the people who have joined us and all of the people who have come on. I'm sorry we had to end with Dane, but it's just, you know, it's one of those things where I ran out of guests. No, it was great. And I really, really appreciate everybody who's come on. Tomorrow, DJ Short and Drew Silva will do a live show on 9 Eastern on Thursday, and they'll be joined by George Bissell. That'll be fun. They'll try to match the magic of this show. Good luck. If you have a chance to rate the show, please do so. It's the only rating you can give a podcast now is 5 stars. So if you just want to take the time to hit that 5-star button and not break the law, please do so. You can follow Dane. Yeah, it is a law. I wouldn't make that up. You can
been
follow
in prison for violating it before.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I can confirm it's a law.
By the way, you got to pay me back the bail money, man. It's been long enough. Yeah. You
no
can
more
follow
4-star ratings for me. I'll never do that again.
You can follow Dane at Dane Perry, and you can follow me at Crawford_MILB. Thanks again. Stay safe, and we will see you next week.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.